right, let's flip over to Nehemiah 4. Nehemiah 4. And let's go to verse number 1. Nehemiah 4, 1. But it came to pass, when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took indignation and mocked the Jews. The devil got his ugly head in here. And when the process started going on, then the devil was getting all worried that it was going to happen. You see, talk is cheap, isn't it? I'm from North Dakota. They say, put your money where your mouth is. And talk is cheap. And they talked about it, and the devil didn't get really too concerned when it's in the talking stage. But boy, when some action happens, and when it starts moving forward, pardon the pun, all hell breaks loose. And you know how it is, the devil, he doesn't want anything to succeed. And Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem, I call them the Three Stooges, they came on the scene and they were going to really try to make trouble. In verse number 2, they started talking trash. Don't you hate it when people start talking trash? Especially about the Lord's work. That's what the lost people in the world do. And they started talking trash. And he said in verse 2, he spake before his brethren, the army of Samaria, and said, what do these feeble Jews, will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? What do they think they're doing? They're attempting the impossible. You know what, ladies and gentlemen? That's kind of what happened at East Mesa Baptist back in 97 when 5 of the 4 guys said, sayonara, adios amigos, good luck, we'll pray for you. That was so encouraging. I was like, really? Really? I think we had, at that time, 150,000 in the building fund. And it was through a series. One person got in an accident and got $100,000 and they tithed $10,000. Another person passed away and left some money to the church. Another good member robbed a bank. And I mean, there's lots of ways you can get money for a building. They were talking trash. Verse 3. Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, Tobiah, he's going to be really intelligent. Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Yeah, maybe they will build these walls, but it's going to be made out of particle board. It's going to be really poor quality. You know what? It's going to be what God wants it to be. I've been in churches where they had a prefab building. I've been in churches where they had a metal building. I've been in churches where they had modular buildings. Been in churches that had mobile homes. Been in churches that remodeled a barn. Been in churches that meeting in a school. When God is in it, it's going to work. Amen? But this was all to discourage Nehemiah and the workers. Verse 4, what do you do? What do you do, ladies and gentlemen, when you need help, you have opposition, you're trying to do something for God, what do you do? Pray! That's a novel idea. When all else fails, pray. No, pray so all else won't fail. Watch. Here, verse 4. Hear, O God, hear, O our God, for we're despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head. God, you turn the tables here. Give them for a prey in the land of captivity. God, turn this around and befuddle them. You know, what does the Bible say? Vengeance is what? Mine, saith the Lord, I'll repay. You know, you don't have to get even with anyone. You don't have to get ugly with anyone. You just have to pray for them. And God will send a diversion. God takes care of the situation. He's a big God. Verse 5, cover not their iniquity, let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. That's why God has a way of taking care of permits and inspectors, and he can work on their hearts. What does the Bible say about the king's hand? Somebody tell me. The heart of the king is in God's hand, and he turneth it whithersoever he willeth. So, really, ladies and gentlemen, when you're doing God's work God's way, you let God work His way. That's what you do, and that's what God does. So it's kind of like when Moses was leading the children of Israel out of Egypt and they came to the Red Sea. Tonight, if you think this morning's sermon is good, wait till you hear tonight's. Five seemingly impossible things that God did. And when they came to the Red Sea, they stopped right there. They looked around at Moses and said, "Now what? There's no grave, no cemeteries in Egypt. There's no funeral homes there. So you brought us out here? Now what?" And what did Moses say to them? "Stand still." Oh, that was Charlton Heston. "Stand still and see the..." Yeah, sometimes you just got to stand back and say, "Okay, God, I'm going to watch you work, but while you work, I'm going to work." You remember that cartoon, Drew? "Whistle while you work." Well, we need to pray while God works. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Watch it. "Hear, O God," verse 4. "Cover not their iniquity," verse 5. "God, you're angry with these guys. Take care of them." Verse 6. "So build we the wall." They didn't get distracted. They didn't lose their focus. They stayed on task. You know, really does it matter how you start out? It really matters how you what? Yeah, yeah. We were in Colorado and we went to this botanical garden there. And they had these huge turtles. I mean, this one turtle was this big. And I thought to myself, you know, I'm getting older, I'm a little slower, and if I race this turtle, you know, probably I could beat this turtle. But as long as the turtle finished, that's all God wants us to do. Amen? Finish! And I don't really like turtles. Well, I like turtle Sundays, but it's not how you start out. It's how you finish, and God wants us to finish well. He wants us to finish well. "We built the wall," verse 6. "And the wall was joined together under the half thereof, for the people had a mind to" what? "Work." You know, if you have a mind to work, the Bible says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Your mind can play tricks on you if you aren't careful. And you have to be careful what you think about. And the Bible says, "Think on these things. Whichsoever things are lovely, just, honest, good report, think on these things." And they had a mind to work. What can I do next? How can I help? What can I do? They had a mind to work. They went into action. They didn't sit around. And sometimes the negativity can come. Man, in 31 years of pastoring, do you think I ever heard anybody complain? I mean, we had this large food bank. We had a bereavement ministry. We had all kinds of different ministries. And we started a lot of them. And sometimes the people, you know, "Come on, let's do it. Let's get cranked up. God wants us to do this." And it was a lot of work. But thank God the people had a mind to work. Verse 7, "It came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Amorites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, they were very wroth." They go, "Oh, it's coming up and they're coming together. They're closing up the breaches. All they got left now is to put the gates on." You know, it's funny how the closer you get to showtime, the harder the devil fights. We were supposed to open a week before Thanksgiving, and we couldn't get an occupancy permit. It was craziness. The lights that they put in the church were 3-foot sticks in a coffee can with a bulb in it. All we had was 30 spots in the church. You had to sit under the spot to see the Bible or the hymn book. It was dark like a funeral home. Dun, 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 dun. I went to the general contractor. He said this was, what did you call that? We did build to suit, or it was where you pay a certain amount and They do everything inclusive, turnkey. He goes, that's economy lighting. That's what you get. I said, the church is a lighthouse and we can't see nothing in there. We need some different light fixtures. I couldn't tell you all the problems we had, but I will tell you this. The closer we got to opening day, the more trouble there was. And we just had to figure, okay, God, your work, your building, we're your people. You help us handle this. You're going to provide for this. And he did. He did. When they came to pass, they saw that the breaches be stopped. They were wroth. I'm going to fast forward. Let's take the wheel of time here and go to Nehemiah 6. Turn to Nehemiah 6 and verse 1. Watch it. They're just getting really, really upset. Nehemiah 6, 1. Now it came to pass when Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem, the Arabian, the rest of our enemies, heard that I had builded the wall and that there was no breach left therein. Nobody's going to get in and out of this place. Though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates. Verse 2, watch it. Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me saying, come, let us meet together in one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messengers, verse 3, unto them saying, I am doing a great work. How many agree that building a new building for God is a great work? It's the greatest thing you can do besides winning a soul. And a building is a place where people will come and gather and worship and hear the word of God. People will be discipled. It's an awesome thing. Very few churches get to the point where you're at. Very few. It's a privilege and an honor to do that for the Lord, because He will get all the glory and all the honor for it. It's for our good and His glory. I am doing a great work, so I can't come down. That's this distraction the devil always tries to do with us. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? Well, they wanted to meet in the plain of, what was that? You know what we need to say to the devil when he wants to distract us? And say, oh no! Oh no! Uh-uh! Oh no, you don't, Mr. Devil. Just remember that. Well, we got this problem and this problem, and we better stop, and we got this problem. Oh no! That's not going to stop us, because our God can do it for us. And it's a great work, and I'm not going to stop no matter what. We're not going to negotiate. We're not going to have a powwow here. We're not going to... And watch in verse number 4. Yet they sent to me 4 times. They started harassing this poor guy 4 times, and I answered them the same matter. Oh no! Oh no! Oh no! I said, oh no. Verse 5. Then sent Sanballat his servant unto me in like matter the 5th time with an open letter in his hand. Almost like a cease and desist letter. Almost like the devil saying, stop! Stop! Boy, the devil would love that, wouldn't he? In verse 6, wherein was written, it is reported among the heathen. Yeah, sometimes, you know, we want to make friends with the people down at City Hall. And we certainly, at East Mesa Baptist, we did do that, because the Bible says, do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. And you don't have to look at them as the enemy. And even if they are the enemy, what are we supposed to do to our enemies? Somebody help me. Love your enemies. When it was reported among the heathen that Geshmu said it, and that thou and the Jews think to rebel, for which cause thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their king according to these words. So then they started slandering Nehemiah. The only reason you're going to do this is you're going to have this fortified city in Jerusalem and you're going to set yourself up as king. That wasn't the reason at all. That's why you have to be careful in judging people's motives. We don't know the heart. God knows the heart. Amen? And the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? God knows it. That's why we don't judge people's motives. And you can judge people, that's fine, but better be prepared to be judged the same way yourself. And we can only really judge people by 2 things. What they say and by what they do. Yes. And he said, you're just doing this, set yourself up as king. This is going to be your little kingdom. No, that wasn't it at all. Let's go back to verse 8 in Nehemiah 4. And it conspired all of them together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. They were gathering the troops against them. They wanted it hindered. Verse 9, nevertheless, we made our, say it with me, prayer unto God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. You know, working day and night, watching and praying. Verse 10, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. There's much rubbish and we are not able to build the wall. They were wearing down. They were getting tired. They were getting weary. Say, man, this is a lot of work. This is a lot of mental stress. They're going to have a nervous breakdown. Watch it in verse 11. Their adversary said, they shall not know neither see till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. There's going to be a sneak attack. Have you ever been blindsided by something? Have you ever been blindsided by the devil? The Bible says we're not ignorant of his devices. And yeah, he shoots the fiery darts at us and he wants to slow us down. But they said, we're going to come in there and we're going to attack them. Well, God made it known to them that what was going to happen. You know what? We pretty much know what's going to happen because we've read the book. Amen? We know how he works. And we need to realize that there's going to be trials and tribulations. But more importantly, we know how God works. Amen? He always blesses faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. He always blesses it when we trust him. I shared in the teen class this morning, Brother Sibley, you did an absolute wonderful job. They're going through Proverbs. I come out of there so smart. Proverbs written by the smartest man ever lived, the richest man that ever lived. My life verse is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine. Lean not on thine. In all thy ways. And he will direct your paths. That's really simple, but really hard to do. It's simply hard. Watch in verse number 12. Or where are we at? 9. In fact, nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them. Verse 10, Judah said, the strength of the bearers decayed. They're tired. And what does the Bible say? Don't be weary in what? Well doing. For in due season we'll reap if we faint not. Verse 11. They're going to do the sneak attack. Verse 12. When the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places whence ye shall return, they'll be upon you. So they got warned. That's why we need to look for the warning signs. And we have a whole Bible full of them. Amen? Be sober. Be vigilant. Your devil, the devil, your adversary, walketh about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Verse 13. Therefore said I, in the lower places behind the wall, on the higher places above the wall, the people after their families, their swords, their spears, their bows, their weapons. Aren't you glad, ladies and gentlemen, that our weapons of war are not physical weapons, are not carnal weapons, but they're spiritual weapons? We have the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. We have the breastplate of righteousness. We have our feet shod with the gospel. We have the helmet of salvation. We have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Verse 14, he looked and he rose up and he said to the nobles, the rulers, and the rest of the people, don't be afraid. You know what? God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and a sound mind. Yeah, don't have stinking thinking. Have godly thinking. Amen? Don't be afraid. Remember the Lord. Remember what he did in the past. That's why they had those pile of stones for a memorial. That's why we have memorial services for people. We remember what they did. That's why we have the Lord's Supper, communion. We remember what he did. His shed blood and his broken body for us. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, your houses. That's why this building really isn't for you. It's for future generations. When February 1, when the new pastor came to East Mesa Baptist, there was another church plant meeting in a storefront. And that pastor, wonderful man, church voted him in. He brought his people over. We merged. So now we got 70 missionaries. Now we got more people. And just it's going really, really, really well. Well, I preached there last Sunday morning, and one of the men from he's from North Dakota, he's in his 80s. He came up to me after church and he goes, "I just want to thank you for building this beautiful building." And I said, "Well, number one, God built it. And number two, we built it for the future generations." I said, "We built it for your generation." And he didn't get it. He goes, "I'm older than you." We're building it for everyone. For the here and now, and for the then and coming. Amen? That's why how important this is. So, came to pass, when the enemies heard, verse 15, that it was known to us, God brought their counsel to naught, that we return to the wall, everyone to the work. Fear maybe made them stop for a minute, but they resumed the work. Get her done. In North Dakota, like a good redneck, get her done. Don't stop. Verse 16, came to pass from that time forth, half of my servants wrought in the work, the other half held the spears, the shields, the bows, the habergeons, and the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. You know what that tells us? There was a job for who? Everyone. Half of them did this and half of them did that. There's a job for everyone. There's prayer, there's cleanup, there's fundraising, there's all kinds of things. You see, everybody is important. Everybody's included. Verse 17, they which build it on the wall, they that bear burdens, those that laid it, every one with his hands wrought in the work. And in the other hand, they had a weapon. So they had a trowel in this hand, and they had a weapon in this hand. What is our weapon today, ladies and gentlemen? The Word of God. Thank you, sir. The Word of God is our weapon. And you know, in verse 18, it said, for the builders, everyone had his sword girded by his side, and so builded. And that the guy that sounded the trumpet was right by me, and I said to the nobles, the rulers, the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we're separated on this wall. You're hanging doors down there, we're hanging doors down there, and there's a big gap here between soldiers and weapons and guards. Work is great. We're separated one far from another. Verse 19. Verse 20. In what place, therefore, you hear the sound of the trumpet, resort you thither unto us, and our God shall fight for us. What did David say? The battle is the... What else he say? Is there not a cause? Look at verse 21. So we labored in the work. You know, in 31 years... Did you ever think I got tired? I was one of those crazy guys. I was 24/7. I actually thought that I needed to work hard. But that's the way I was raised by my dad. And I got tired in the work, but praise God, I didn't get tired of the work because I was working for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that's what we're doing, ladies and gentlemen. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, our labors are not in what? Vain. This isn't an empty, passing thing that's not a big deal. It's a big deal. It's a huge deal. Huge deal. So we labored in the work. Half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Would that be like, Drew, from sun up to sundown? You got that? You're a Bible scholar, theologian. The rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Likewise, verse 22, likewise at the same time I said unto the people, let everyone with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be a guard to us and labor on the day. We're going to hang together here. We're going to guard at night, work during the day. Sounds like 24/7 to me. 23, so neither I nor my brethren nor my servants nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, saving that everyone put them off for washing. Now I'm going to give you the title of the message right now. Are you willing to sleep in your clothes? How many have ever slept in your clothes? What is the reason you usually slept in your clothes? To be ready to go to work. I don't want to oversleep because I won't have time. Or you work so late and you were so tired, you what? Yeah. You crashed. There was times when I worked late My dad's a masonry contractor, cement guy. And we'd pour basement floors, driveways, sidewalks. We'd pour the cement and we'd have to come back and trowel it. And in those days, you either hand troweled it with knee boards or you had a power troweler. It was just this round thing with blades on it with a lawnmower engine on it. Brings us around. Sometimes if you poured it too wet and it took so long to dry and it was summertime with high humidity in North Dakota, you'd be working till 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. And then because you make hay when the sun shines, because the frost comes in North Dakota and you can't dig down in the frost to pour footings to put in block basements, you'd have to go to work at 5 in the morning because it would get that light out early in the morning and stay light till about 10 at night in North Dakota because it had a short little growing season, June, July, August, and in September harvest and plant in May. So when you'd go to bed, sometimes you'd be working all day and you'd be tired and you'd fall asleep in your, what kind of clothes? Work clothes. And then you would get up and you would still have on your work clothes. And yeah, when you started to stink, you'd take them off and you'd wash them. You'd wash them. But ladies and gentlemen, right here, why did God tell us that this building project, they didn't take their clothes off except to wash them? Why? Everything is in the Bible for a, yeah, not entertainment, but for a reason. Neither I nor my brother nor my servants nor the men of the guard which followed, none of us put off our clothes. Can you imagine some of them going to Nehemiah and saying, "Hey, I want to change my clothes now. Or I've been in these clothes for a long time." But nope, you got to work. You can wash them tomorrow after we work and you sleep tonight. Everyone put off saving, that everyone put them off for washing. So, ladies and gentlemen, are you willing to sleep in your clothes? Your pastor's probably, I haven't talked to him about this, but he's probably, like I did, eat, drinking, and sleeping building project. I mean, it's there 24/7. When you're going to do a work for God, number one, there's opposition. Number two, others can faint or quit or doubt that it can happen. The Bible says, work, for the night comes when no man can work. And if you're going to work, work till the job is done and work in your, sleep in your work clothes. And we sing that song that says, "We'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work till Jesus comes." You know, our labors are not in vain. And compared to eternity, this little time that we have on this earth to serve the Lord, East Mesa Baptist Church is the only church I ever served at, only church I was ever on staff at, only church I ever pastored at. And the pastor that I took over, I'm the second pastor, he was 67 when he retired. He had been there 17 years. And I thought, man, I'm never going to be here 17 years. And I end up being there 31 years. I remember the shingles were all curled up, and I told the men when I was 32 and 92 when I went there, "We need shingles." We had no money. And they said, "We don't know where we're going to get the money for the shingles." Because I didn't want the roof to leak and ruin the plywood on the roof. So I went to Menards or Lowe's, and I priced out these shingles. They had a 10-year shingle. They had a 15-year shingle. They had a 20-year shingle. And they had a 30-year shingle. So I picked out these three tab. They weren't architecturals. They were those cheap asphalts. How many know what I'm talking about? And they were cheap. They were flat asphalts. I come back to the men and I said, "This is what we can get these shingles for." They said, "You're not from Arizona. The heat will eat those up. They won't last as long as they could. You got to get the more expensive ones." I said, "You know, I thought in my head, I'm just going to get these cheap shingles because I ain't going to be here very long. And I'll let the next pastor put shingles on it." That's what I thought. And there I'm there 30. You know how many times I've had to shingle the roof since I've been there? So make what you do count for the Lord while you're here. Amen? And we don't know how long we have, but let's make our time count
Let's work till Jesus comes. Let's trust Him. Let's sleep in our work clothes. And let's get the job done, knowing that there's nothing too hard for the Lord. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed,